Okay, today's daf is Mem Aleph. We're going to start at the bottom of Mem Amabet at Amar of Nachman. Oh, before that. Manali biyadcha, the two dots. The en lecha biyadi patur. Right, if somebody says, you owe me money, I've lent you money and you never pay me back, or you took something from me and I gave you something to watch, you never gave it back, and he is kofer bakol, basically, as opposed to the modeh b'miktzat, he's patur from a shvuah. But Amar Rav Nachman umashbi'in oto shvuat haset, but we make him take a shvuah midrabanan. Okay, now we learn, until now we've been talking about shvuah d'oraita, the cases where the Torah is machayev shvuah, like Eidecha, Modeh b'miktzat. But here we're going to see that there's certain cases where the rabbis make you take a shvuah, and then the obvious question the Gemara is going to be, what's the difference between a shvuah d'oraita and a shvuah d'rabanan? Okay, so Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, we make him take a shvuah hesed. A shvuah hesed is a shvuah midrabanan. So in order, if the malva claims you owe money, let's say, and you say, I don't know anything, we make you swear. Otherwise, if you're not willing to swear, you have to pay. What's the reason for this? My taima. Chazaka ein adam tovea elim kenim yesh lo alav. A person wouldn't come and claim money. Okay, we're assuming who's more believable. The person who says, I loaned you money. Most people wouldn't go and claim money from someone if it really, there was no truth to it. So then they say, what do you mean? Adrabah, don't we have another chazaka that disagrees with that, which would basically say, we actually believe the lover, why would we, or the guy who's claiming, I don't owe you money, why? Don't we have a chazaka, if you remember we talked about this the other day, ein adam toveh elim ken yesh lo alav. A person wouldn't, I'm sorry, I just read the wrong one. Chazakah ein adam izpana bifnei baal chovo. A person would never go to someone who loaned him money and say, I don't owe you anything. That would be such chutzpah to do that to someone who actually was nice to you and lent you money. So there's no way, and that's what was the whole thing, why modeh b'miktzat, we make you swear, because we assume you're telling the truth about that happened. We assume that you actually owe the whole thing, but you're just trying to avoid paying it. So what do they say? No, the point is that when he says, I don't owe you, the assumption is, the assumption is, it's the same assumption we had with the Moshe B'miktzat, that he's not really lying, he's just saying, I don't have any money, I don't owe you any money, because he's trying to push the guy off. We don't really think that he never intends to pay the money back, we just think that he's trying to push him off for right now, because he doesn't have the money to pay back. And therefore, what are we assuming? That he's not actually really lying. He's just pushing him off. So we don't have this chazaka ein adam izpanav, because he doesn't really mean it when he says, right, this is interesting. It's like we've seen before. Do you really mean what you say? When he says, no, I don't owe you anything, he doesn't really mean I don't owe you anything. He just means, I'm not willing to pay you back right now. But he's not willing to say that, because he's worried if he says that, they'll come after him.
He's very down the cuffs with this. I mean, which isn't a bad thing. Just, you know, there are times when we don't take quite as forgiving.
Well, again, you have to remember, what's the ramifications of this? That we make him swear. That is because we suspect that he's maybe giving a white lie, not like a total outright lie. But the point is that we do suspect he's lying. And that is, the point is that we don't think that he's actually saying, I don't owe you anything. And therefore, he's actually lying because he says, I don't owe you anything. So there's reason to suspect that he's actually lying, and therefore we make him take a shvuah. So it's not like he gets away with
that,
anything.
But sometimes it still seems sort of more understanding of human nature than sometimes.
Maybe. Could be. And as in general, what's interesting about this always is the rabbis are trying to figure out human nature. What does somebody mean when they say such a thing? So then they say now, Teda, Da Amarav Idi Bar Av and Amarav Chista. Here's a good proof for this, the fact that this is true. Hakofer b'milveh kasher kasher le'edut b'pikadon pasul le'edut. Let's say somebody says, I don't owe you money, and then edim come and say, you do owe the money. So he's considered a liar, right? But normally, if you're a liar, and we assume you lied under oath, or you know, you lied in court, so what are we going to say? You can't be an aid. But if it's a milveh that you denied owing the guy money, you're kasher le'edut. And why is that? Because again, we don't view it. And here we actually are down l'chavzchut. We really don't view it that you were outright lying. You were just trying to push the guy off. But if it's a pikadon, where you came to court, now all these are cases where you didn't nishba l'sheker. If you actually then go ahead and swear falsely in the name of God, you know, for sure then you're considered a liar. But this is all where you just said, no, I don't have it, and then Adim came and said, or no, I paid you back, and Adim come and disprove you, and they come and testify against you. Then if it was a pikadon and you say, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't have your pikadon in my house, then we consider you a liar. We won't accept you for testimony in court because you have... Remember the difference between a milveh and a pikadon. A pikadon you have in your hands, it's just a matter of returning it. So it's not the kind of case where you say, oh, I need to wait till I get some cash. Milveh, we say, lahotza'anitna. When you get money, the idea is you borrow money in order to spend it, and then you'll try to make the money back and return the money. So there's this assumption, and that's why this whole assumption works, because the assumption is that when you borrow money, chances are you might not end up having the money when it's time to return the loan yet. You might not have gotten a return on your investment, whatever you did with the money, you might not have the money yet, and therefore we're going to assume that any kind of hitchamkut, where you're trying to say, oh, I don't have the money, is really just saying, I don't owe you, is really just saying, I don't have the money yet. And therefore, we don't view you as an outright liar. And that's why, number one, we make you take a shvuat hesed. And number two, we're not going to possibly let Edom if Edom actually come and testify against you. Those are two different cases, right? One is where Edom came and testified against you. Then, obviously, there's no place for a shvuat because you're already proven wrong. In our case, right, that we brought it just to show that why that there's an assumption that we actually think that you're not telling the truth, but you're not actually an outright liar because you're really just trying to push off the inevitable. So we started with Rav Nachman, who said, if you're kofir bakol rather than moda b'mikzat, even though you're not supposed to take a shvua midoraita, we make you take a shvua midorabanan. But Rav Chaviva says that Rav Nachman actually said it on a different case. Mana li biyadcha va'amar lo hein, at the case in the later on in the Mishnah where we saw, if somebody says, you owe me money, and he says, yes, because remember, the case of Kofir Bakol, the Mishnah said, you're patur. And then came Rav Nachman and said, well, it's true, you're patur mishvul midoraita, but you're chayav shvul midoraban. But Rav Chaviva said he actually wasn't talking about that case, where you're chayav shvul, you don't have to take a shvul midoraban on that case, you have to take a shvul on a different case. If somebody says, mana li biyadcha, amar lo hein, and you admit, you say, yes, I do owe you money. Limachar, amar lo tneu li. Remember this case? The next day the guy comes and says, okay, give me the money that you admitted to owing me yesterday. And the guy says, nitati v'lecha. The loves says, I already gave it to you. Then he's patur. So the amar Rav Nachman, in that case, where what were the chances that he actually paid the money back between yesterday and today? So amar Rav Nachman, mashbi'ino toshfuat esed. In that case, in order to be patur, again, he has to swear. Shvuat hesed, shvuat midrabanan. So now the Gemara says, right, there's two versions. Either Rav Chista said it, either Rav Nachman said it on the Kofar Bakol case, or he said it on the case where the person actually admitted there was a loan, but by the next day already said, well, I already paid it back. So mandamatne aresha kol shekena seifa. If you learn it on the first case in the Mishnah, then obviously you'll agree that in the second case, he obviously also has to take a shvuah, because there's all the more reason not to believe him. But mandamatne aseifa, but the one who says that it's only on the last case where the guy admitted, hachuhu de'ikadrara de'mamona. Aval hatam de'ikadrara de'mamona lo. The person who says on the Seifa would only say it on the Seifa case because on the Seifa case, there's a basis to his claim. It's there we're going to believe the Malveh more because remember where we started. The first reading of Rav Nachman was that why did he take a shvuat hesed? Because we believe that if someone claims you owe him money, he's not just making that up. People don't just randomly make up, oh, you owe me money. But here we're saying, no. In this case, why are we believing the Malveh? Because the Loveh actually admitted to the Malveh that, yes, I did borrow money from you. And I even owe you the money. It's the next day he claims, well, I already paid you back in the interim. But there, the claim has a basis because the Loveh agrees to the claim in principle. But then he says, well, in the interim, I paid you back. Whereas the first claim where he says, "I you owe me money," and the guy says, I don't know what you're talking about, there the Malveh has much less of a basis. And if you say that Rav Nachman says it on the second case, you wouldn't agree that he says it on the first place. Okay, Drara de Mamona in this case. Drara de Mamona can mean a few different things. In this case, it means that the claim has a basis or it doesn't have a basis, right? And in the other case, it doesn't have a basis. Now the Gemara wants to know, what's the difference between my ikabein shvua d'oraita l'shvua d'rabban? What's the difference between a shvua d'oraita and a shvua hesed, right? We started our parak with the shvua d'oraita. Now we're talking about a shvua midrabban and a shvua hesed. What's the difference? So we're going to have a number of differences, okay? But they're each going to be depending on who you hold. Like, we're going to give a difference and then say, well, according to this person who doesn't believe that, then we got to find a different difference. Ika benayu mepach shvua. Okay, what's mepach shvua? This is like a game when you're in a game and it's your turn, and then you say, I want to pass. Okay, so let's say you're chayav shvua, like in a kofar bakol case, and you say, I don't want to swear, but I'm going to pass the shvua on to the other person. That's, I don't think I owe you the money, and I'm not willing to swear, but if you swear, then I'll pay you the money. Okay? So, b'doraita lo mabchinat shvua. If you owe a shvua mi d'oraita, let's say a moda b'miktzat, you can't make the other side pay in order to get paid. The whole idea of shvua d'oraita is either you swear and then you don't have to pay the money, or you swear, or you don't swear and then you have to pay, because if you're not willing to swear, you owe the money, basically. But in a shvua d'rabanan, since it's a weaker shvua, we're going to say mabchinat. If you're not willing to swear, let's say you're kofar bakol, you're not willing to swear. Now, since we're not exactly sure who to believe, right? So you're allowed to flip that shvua onto the malva and say, look, I don't owe you any money. I'm not willing to swear, you can swear, and if you swear, I'll pay. Okay? Now, it's a debate. Okay, we'll see right now. Lamar bar of Ashi damar b'doraita nami mabchinan shvua. Mar bar of Ashi actually says that you can even switch a shvua mid'oraita. Okay, you can even flip a shvua onto the other person, which is an interesting shita, right? You'd think, if you're chayav a shvua, how do you start switching your shvua onto somebody else? I just wanted to see one thing. 1 second. Right. Okay. So anyway, according to Mar Bar of Ashi, you're allowed to switch the shvua even mida oraita. You can basically say, I'm not willing to swear, but if you swear, then you can get the money from me. So according to him, my ika bein to oraita l'derabanan. So then we're left with what's going to be the difference according to him, bein to oraita l'derabanan. So now what's going to be the difference? Ika beinayu mechat l'nichse. Let's say he doesn't swear and he doesn't pay. So right here you have your classic case of your love. He says, I don't owe you any money, but I'm not willing to swear about it and I'm not willing to pay. So at this point, right, what kof does the Beit Din have? So that's going to be a difference whether it's a shvua d'oraita or a shvua d'rabana. If it's a moda b'mikta case, then we're going to say, mechat l'nichse. We can go into his property, seize his property to pay back the loan. B'doraita nachtinan l'nichse, b'drabanan lo nachtinan l'nichse. But in the case of a drabanan, the rabbis don't have the power to say, oh, well, he didn't swear, so we're going to make him pay. Because really, right, remember, it's always harder to take money out of somebody's hands. We always say, ha-motzi mechaveir alav haraya. That's the whole basis of all of this. Right? That's why he can even be meipach ha-shvua, because the other person doesn't really have proof that you owe the money. So that's why they claim, even in theory in a d'oraita, even though you're supposed to swear, the other person still, the burden of proof is on him to prove that you owe him the money. Remember, this also would be true in the other cases. The majority of cases are nishba veino mishalem, right? Where you're basically trying to say, if I swear, I won't have to pay. Like this lova case, okay? I don't owe you the money, and therefore, right, once I swear, I no longer need to pay you. But sometimes there's a few cases of nishba v'notel where you can swear in order to demand the money from someone. But anyway, let's say you don't swear and you're not willing to pay. So do we have the rights to go seize your property? So if it's a d'oraita shvua, then we're going to say yes, we can seize your property. But b'drabanan lo nachtinan l'nichse. But in a d'rabanan case where you chayav shvua mid'rabanan, like this lova case who's kofir bakol, and you're not willing to swear about it, then we basically seize your property. We can't seize your property, okay? Which we're going to get to later. If we can't seize your property, then what do we do? Because if we're pretty convinced that you do owe the money, then how do we handle it? Ula Rabbi Yossi da'amar b'drabana nami nachtinan l'nichse. But before we get to that, we're going to say, but wait, there is an opinion, Rabbi Yossi, who says that even d'rabanan, we can come and seize your property. How do we know that Rabbi Yossi says this? And we're going to have a few stages. Number one, how do we know Rabbi Yossi says this? Once we know Rabbi Yossi says this, again, we're going to say, what's the difference between a shvua d'oraita and a shvua d'rabanan? So the Rabbi Yossi Damar b'Drabana Nami Nachtinan Lenichse Ditnan. How do we know this? It says in the Mishnah, Mitziat Cheres Shotev Katan Yesh Bam Gezel Mishum Mipnei Darkei Shalom. We learned this in Gittin. That if a cheresh shotev katan, remember, they don't have their own property, really. If they find a lost item and they acquire it, they don't actually acquire it, halachically. But you shouldn't steal it from them, even though it's not really theirs, right? Mipnei darkei shalom, because they picked it up. So they think it's theirs, right? And because of darkei shalom, because we don't want to create tension between people, you shouldn't take it away from them. You shouldn't steal it, even though stealing it really isn't anything. Rabbi Yossi Omer, gezel gamur. This is Gezel Gamor to steal from them. Now, how can he say that? It's clearly not theirs, midoraita, right? They don't have any rights to acquire things. V'am Rav Chista, Gezel Gamor midivrehem. Rav Chista said that when Rabbi Yossi says it's Gezel Gamor, he meant midorabanan. Okay? It's Gezel on a derabanan level because they don't have any rights to it, midoraita. They only have rights. The rabbis kind of gave them rights to say that if you find something, it can be yours, even though midoraita, it's not theirs. L'may nafkamina. So what's the relevance of saying this, that it's gezel gamur midivreihem? L'hotzio b'dayanim. What's the point of saying it's theft, if really it's not really theft, right? It's only theft midirabanan. It means that if you take a mitzvah of cheres shotev katan, the dayanim can go into your property and take it away from you.
If you steal it from them,
the rabbis can go into your property and take it and give it back to them. So, if that's the case, what do you see? The dayanim on a derabanan level can go in and take your stuff. So therefore, if you owe the shvua derabanan and you don't take it, then the rabbis can basically say, well, we're going to take back the money that you're supposed to owe to this guy. So, according to him, ma'ikabein d'orayta l'derabanan, ikabeinayu shekenegdo chashur ala shvua. This is a case where, let's say the loved is supposed to take a shvua, okay, whether he's moda b'miktzad or whether he's kofar b'kol, right, or right to derabanan, so we're going to have to see. Those would be the two options of cases. So if you're chayav b'shvua, but you're a person who, let's say, swore falsely once in a court, or you're suspected that you might lie under oath, okay, there's reason to suspect you, you're not allowed to take a shvua in court. So now what happens? So what happens in a case like that, we don't just say automatically you have to pay. We switch, then we do a mepach shvua, right? It's not that you said, I don't want to swear, I'm going to give it to the other side, like the first case. It's we switch it to the other side. Since you can't swear, this is one of the cases where you're nishba v'notel. If the other person is chashur ala shvua and he can't swear that he doesn't owe you the money, so you're allowed to swear in order to get the money. Okay? That's called the shvua nishba v'notel. So if kenegdo chashur ala shvua, b'do'oraita shekenegdo chashur ala shvua, apchina le shvua. Right? So in a doraita case where there's a doraita chiyuv to take a shvua, like a moda b'miktzat, and you can't take a shvua, so we're going to make the other person, right, the malveh, take the shvua, and he'll have to swear, you owe me the full amount. And if he doesn't swear you owe him the full amount, then you don't have to pay. Okay? It's actually a weird thing, because if you're chashur al shvua and you're less believed, but yet, since you can't take the shvua, that's chal alav mi doraita, and the other person, if he's not willing to take a shvua, then you actually win out.
It
works to your advantage, even though you're a chashud. It's a strange, right? It goes a little strangely as a result of that. But derabanan, what do we say? There's no chashud al shvua afchinan le. Why? It's just a takantai. It's just a takana. V'takanta l'takanta lo avdinan. And we don't make a takana. Okay? And therefore, again, the same thing would happen, really, which is you just don't need to pay. In other words, if... Right. What's the issue here? It's actually, I'll tell you why, it doesn't work out to his disadvantage. If in a derabanan case, if you're chashur al shvua, it works out to your advantage because you just don't need to pay. But in the doraita, we flip it onto the other person, and if he swears, then we make you pay. So because of that, he has an opportunity to swear and to get the money.
Okay? If he's unwilling to swear, it works out.
Right. Only if he's unwilling to swear. Whereas in a derabanan, we just don't switch it, and you just don't need to pay. Okay, ula rabanan de plige ale de bar Rabbi Yossi. Now we're going back. I said we get back to this. According to Rabbi Yossi, what did we say? We can yored lenichasav, right? If in a derabanan shvuah has said he doesn't want to swear, so we go into his property and we seize it. But the rabbis who disagree with him, Damru b'derabanan lo nachtinan l'nichse, mayavdinan le. So what do we do in the case where he's not willing to swear? And we can't get him to pay. So what do we do? Mishamtinan le. Okay, if he's not willing to pay, which he's supposed to, because remember, if he doesn't swear, right, he's not... The rabbis basically made this takana, you have to take a short hesed. If you don't, then you actually have to pay. Now, the only way you're going to get exempt from this payment is by swearing. You don't swear, so you actually need to pay, but you're not willing to pay. So, according to Rabbi Yossi, we go into your property, we seize your property. But, what do we do if you can't do that, according to the rabbis? Mishamtina le, we put him in nidoy. So, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, hai nachte b'kufse, that's like the same. You're basically grabbing him by his private parts until he gives you his cloak. In other words, it's no different than nachtina lenichse. If you put him in nidoy for the long term, it's basically the exact same thing. Ela mayavdina le. So what do we do? Amar le mishamtina le ademate zman nagde. If you remember what we learned about nidoy, we learned that you put him in nidoy for a certain amount of time. If after that amount of time he doesn't give it. I think maybe it was 90 days. I don't remember. 30 days, right? Levatar Tatsun Yomin, Rashi says. Because I'm reading Rav. Mangin Amanda Mashe Shamte Dorabanale Tatsun Yomin. Okay. Look at that in Kiddushin. So after 30 days, you put him in Nidoy for 30 days. In other words, temporarily Nidoy as opposed to for the long term. Put him in Nidoy for 30 days. And then you're allowed to give him lashes at that point. So then you give him lashes. Vinagdinale, Vishavkinale. And then you leave him alone. And you hope that at that point he's going to pay the money. Amara Papa, Hai manda apik shtari al chavre, va amarle shtara paruahu. Amrinanle, okay, let's say somebody comes and says, look, here's an IOU, you know, we took out a loan. Remember the way it works. The malveg holds the shtar in his possession until the loan is paid back. When the loan is paid back, the lova is supposed to take the shtar or rip it, or, right, or if he doesn't have access to the shtar, he usually writes a shovar. We had all these cases where it's confusing. If the guy still has the shtar, and the guy says, what do you mean, I paid you back, you know, whose responsibility? So let's say the guy pulls out a shtar and says, look, you owe me money. Vamar lei, and he says to him, shtar paruahu, right, and he says, but I paid back that loan. Amrinan lei, lav kol kiminech, zil shlim. Okay, he says, sorry, but, you know, the other guy's holding a shtar, and therefore you have to pay. Now, im amar lishtabali, but if the guy says, the lova is insistent that he pay back the loan, and there's always a bit of uncertainty here, because maybe the lova, maybe when he pay back the loan, the malva said, listen, I don't have the shtar here, but I'll bring it to you tomorrow, you know, and he never did. Or yeah, there could be some reason why the malva still has the shtar, even though the lova pay back the money, right? Especially, we assume there's honesty and trust between them. How many times do you not get something in writing and not get it signed? So it could be the malva said, listen, I'll bring you the shtar tomorrow. And the guy said, no problem. And he gave him back the money, figuring the malva was a trustworthy guy. And then the malva never gives it to him, pulls out the shtar on him and says, hey, look. So if the guy says, listen, swear to me, and then I'll pay you if you're willing to swear, then we in fact make him swear. Okay? Amrinan le ishtabale. Okay? They say you have to swear. And if you don't swear, then you don't get it back. So some people, by the way, say that this, some people view this, that this is only according to Marbar of Ashi, who said you could be mahabchina shvua deoraita. Okay? And maybe this is only if you hold that way. Some people say, no, it's a unique halacha here. Even if you don't say mahabchina shvua deoraita, you would still say it here because this is a case of a shtar. And because there's this concern that maybe he never gave back the shtar when he really should have, and the guy really claims, I paid you back, and he's kind of stuck and he has no claim. So he is allowed to be what we call matil shvua, to put a shvua on the other side. Okay? So now, this case is a case where basically the lova comes forward and says, I don't believe you, swear to me, and if you swear, then I'll pay you back the money. And then we make him swear. So Amar le Rav Acha b'rei de Rava le Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha b'rei de Rava says to Rav Ashi, Uma ben zeh le pogem et shtaro. Why is this any different that you have to say a unique halacha here to a case of pogem et shtaro? What's pogem et shtaro? Pogem et shtaro is a case where I have a shtar that you owe me 100 shekel. And then I come to say, please pay me the money. But I say, but you already paid me back 75 shekel and you only owe me 25. Or you already paid me back 50, you only owe me 50. Where I'm basically, I myself am saying, I'm pogame the shtar. I'm saying I have a shtar here for 100, but it's not actually a shtar for 100 at this point. It's only a shtar for 50. And if you're pogame et shtaro, then you have to swear in order to get the... If I'm pogame my shtar, in order to get even the 50 that I'm demanding, even though I have the shtar in hand, I have to swear about it. Because I'm already... The word pogame is right. I am saying there's something wrong, pagum, there's something wrong with the shtar. So once I'm saying that, our heir kind of on the status of the shtar, and I have to swear. So why is that any different than this case where the lova says, I don't owe you the money, and we make him swear? So this basic difference, amalei hatam, af agav delotain ihu ta'aninamle. If I come to court and say, you owe me 50, even though the shtar says 100, the court forces me, that's what we call ta'aninamle. The court comes in and says, you must swear. Whereas ta'aninan le'anan, that's the court. But ha'cha, in this case, amrinan le'ziel shlim le. V'itan va'amar ishtabali, amrinan le'ziel ishtabali. In the first case we saw, it's only in the case where the loves says, I already paid you, I'm sure I paid you back, and unless you swear I'm not going to pay you the money, then we make him take a shvuah. But we don't make him take a shvuah if the loveh doesn't say, swear. You follow? And in the first case, where the guy claimed and said, you owe me the whole thing of my shtar, and he wasn't pogam shtaro bichlal, he only has to swear in a case where the loveh says, swear. Okay. Whereas in the second case, when the mob is pogam shtaro, we make him swear no matter what. The court comes in and says, since you were pogam shtaro, you have to swear. And that's why pogam shtaro needs the whole... You wouldn't need pogam et shtaro if when he's not pogam et shtaro, he needs to swear also. But in the first case, he needs to swear only because the lova says you better swear. But if the lova doesn't say swear and I'll give you the money, then we make the lova pay without the malva having sworn because the guy has a shtar. But if he's pogam et shtaro, then no matter what, he has to swear. Okay, that's the difference. Whether the lova can, you know, needs to be matil de shvua on him or the court is. And if he's a Talmid Chacham, lo mashbi'in alei. We don't make him swear. Okay, if he's a Talmid Chacham, then we assume he's trustworthy. Okay, this is an interesting halacha, right? We basically say, okay, well, a Talmid Chacham doesn't have to swear. Okay, in the case, right? So which case this is? Right. If in the first case, if the lova says, "I already paid you back," and therefore swear to me, we don't make him swear. Okay, we assume a Talmid Chacham is telling the truth. If Talmid Chacham pulls out a shtar, right, this is a very, again, all these sugyot are very difficult in light of things that go on certainly in our day, where just because someone's a Talmid Chacham doesn't mean he's an honest business guy. So it's a little disturbing, but they had this understanding in, you know, maybe it was different in their circles, the Talmidei Chachamim were more yashar and true, you know, honest, although we did see stories that showed otherwise. But Itzor Merabanan lo mashbi'in alein. So Amar le Mar Yemra le Rabashi. Tzor Merabana Mishlach Lima de Inche. So you're giving, he basically says what I'm saying, which is what you're giving rights to Talmidei Chachamim to basically take away cloaks of other people. Right? Okay, so what do we say? Ela lo mizdaknina le ledine. Okay, what does this mean, lo mizdaknina le ledine? So there's a few different interpretations, okay? Rashi says that basically we don't force him to swear, to take this oath. Okay, but it means that we don't force him to take the oath. In the case of the lova says swear to me, so we make him take an oath. But here we're saying basically we don't make him take the oath. And if he doesn't swear, but if he doesn't swear, he doesn't get his money back. Okay? So a Talmid Chacham basically doesn't have to swear, but if he doesn't, he loses his money. So Tosfot Arash says that's weird because that would basically cause the Talmid Chacham to lose his money if he's let's say nervous to swear. So a different explanation that Tosfot Arash brings is that let's say I'm a Torah scholar, someone owes me money, I go into their property and I seize their property for the loan, okay, without taking an oath. So now the court doesn't take it away from him. Okay, once he was tofes, there's this whole concept, once you're tofes, we don't make you return it. And one second, he can also, right, and if he wants to, right, the other thing he says is that, one second, he He seizes it without taking a shvua. So then basically, number one, if he seized it, we don't take it away from him. He's allowed to have done that, even though he didn't take an oath here. And the second thing is that when did we say he could take an oath? If the guy says, take an oath and I'll pay you back. But it also means that he is allowed to opt to take an oath so that they'll make the guy pay. Although I'm not sure why the guy would need to pay anyway, really. Right. What would the oath help him in that case? I'm not really sure. Because it seems like he would have to... Right? Yeah. I'm not sure about that opinion in the Tosafot HaRosh. Okay, so there's a bit of a debate about what this means, lomas akakinan lay, right? In other words, we don't make him swear. Okay? Rashi says here, if you look in Rashi, lomas akakinan lay li shava dimechse dechashdinan lay. In other words, it's also, I think Rashi is basically saying it would be a huge humiliation for a Talmid Chacham to basically say, you're claiming someone owes you money, we don't believe you, go swear in court about it. Like that, just that in of itself would be a humiliation, and therefore we can't humiliate a Talmid Chacham to that extent. So maybe that's also part of the issue, that we don't want to humiliate him, so therefore we don't say you have to take a shavua. Okay? The problem is, then he might lose out on the money, right? So it's like this catch-22. If you don't let him swear, then he's going to lose his money, but if you make him swear, it's going to be a huge humiliation for him. So maybe we kind of give him the choice. He could decide. Either he wants his money or he doesn't mind suffering the humiliation that they're making him take a shvua. It sounds like on Yom Kippur night, they make the Kohen Gadol swear that he... Right, what is it that he... forgot. They make him take the shvua. Oh, that he's not a tzduki, right? And they make him take a shvua that he's not a tzduki. And then it's like this, they cry and he cries. It's this big humiliation that they have to do this. It's like a whole thing. So maybe it's similar to that. Rashi views it. Okay. Manali biyadcha. Okay, now we're going to, and then he says yes, and then the machar, he says, go give it back to me, and he already says, ein lecha biyadi, right? So, and then if you remember, he says, and he says, well, I already gave it to you, then, since the guy said edim, right, that was a stipulation. So, Amrav Chisam Ravasi. Hamelabet chaveru be'edim, sarich lifporo be'edim. This is a new thing. If you gave your loan in front of two witnesses, you loaned him the money, right? This is where you said, pay me back in front of witnesses. But even if you didn't say pay me back in front of witnesses, but you did the loan in front of witnesses, right? What are you showing? You're showing I don't trust you enough, right? It's important that we do this in front of witnesses. Then sarich lifporo be'edim, you have to pay him back with edim. When I said this in front of Shmuel, Rav Yehuda says, Amar li, yachol lomar lo praticha b'fnei ploni uploni, v'chulahem l'medinat hayam. You don't necessarily need to show that you have witnesses and bring the witnesses forward. You could claim I did it in front of witnesses, but they're now abroad, and I can't bring them to court. Tnan, okay, the Mishnah says, manali biyadcha amar lohen, l'machar amar lo tnei li, nitzativ lecha. Right, and then he says, I already gave it back to you, patur. So now he says, v'ha'acha kevan detave be'edim, here, since he was toveahim with edim, in other words, he said in front of edim, manali biyadcha, that's how we know, right, we have edim here. Kiman, isn't it like someone de'ozfe be'edim dami, be'katani patur? Doesn't it sound like here, he says, give me the, right, he says, manali biyadcha, and the guy admits it, and he did that be'edim. So since he did that be'edim, and the guy admitted in front of edim, isn't that like he loaned him the money in front of edim? And therefore, how could the guy, right, what did we say in the Mishnah? Only if you stipulate that you need it to be done with edim. But here, he did the admission in front of edim, so the malva was machped, there would be edim there. Don't you think he would be machped? There would be edim when he returns the money? So they say chiyuv to deravasi. This, in fact, poses a problem for Ravasi. Amar lecha Ravasi, Ravasi would answer, Ana ki amre hecha de meikara ozfei be'edim, de lo ledi de hemne. Hacha ha hemne. He says, I only said my thing, and as Ravasi is not saying this, but we're saying it in his name, that I'm only saying what I said in a case where originally, when he first loaned him the money, he did a be'edim. Here, he loaned him the money without edim, which showed that he trusted him enough. The fact that he had this admission done in front of edim, something different, but he already proved that Ikaron, he believes this guy. And therefore, since he already showed he believed him, therefore we don't insist there be edim when he returns the money. Rabbi Yosef Manehachi. Rabbi Yosef learned this all differently. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Asi. Right, how did we start? We started with, right? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amavet Chavero Be'edim, Tzarich Leporo Be'edim. Okay, that was the first version. The second version is, Hamavet Chavero Be'edim, a note Tzarich Leporo Be'edim. Okay, the Rabbi Asi said, in fact, the opposite. If you loan someone money in front of witnesses, you don't need to return the money in front of witnesses. V'imamar, only if he says, Al Tifreini Ela Be'edim, Sarich leporo be'edim. Okay, only if you say that you need to. Now, obviously, what are they going to do? They're going to bring our mission to support this. Ki amarita kamei de Shmuel. When I brought this, I said this in front of Shmuel. And that was, again, Rabbi Yehuda taught the name Rav Asi and then brought to Rav Asi in front of Shmuel. Well, he says to Shmuel, so Shmuel says to him, Amarli, yachol omar lo paraticha b'fnei ploni uploni v'achulem l'midinariya. Even if you say you have to return the money in front of ploni uploni, the guy could claim, I did pay you the money in front of Ploni and Ploni, but they went abroad and I can't bring them to court. And then he'd still be believed, because at least he claims that he did it in front of Aid. Tanan, again, now we're going to bring our Mishnah, like I said, to prove. Manali bi'at chav amar lohen, amar lo al tenei uli ele b'fnei edim, lemachar amar lo tenei uli, and then he says, netativ lecha, chayav, b'fnei shetzerich li ten lo b'edim. Tiyuv to Shmuel. This should be, right, so now they're saying, this dafka contradicts Shmuel, because Shmuel says that you need to, that you don't need the witnesses. And here it says, right, in other words, Shmuel says in this case, if you said you have to do it, what did we say? If you say you have to do it b'fnei edim, then you have to bring the edim that you proved it. And Shmuel says you don't actually have to bring the edim. You could claim that the edim are no longer here. So doesn't our Mishnah pose a problem? Because our Mishnah says you actually have to bring it in front of edim. So our Mishnah supports Rav Asi, but knocks out Shmuel. So Amar Lecha Shmuel Tanaihi. This, in fact, is a Machloket Tanaim. Titania, it says in a Braita, Be'edim Hilviticha, Be'edim Perali. Okay, if he says, I lent you in front of witnesses, and I want you to pay me back in front of witnesses, O Yitain, he either has to give it, O Yavi Ra'ayasha Natan. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera Omer, Yachol Omar Le Paraticha B'fnei Ploni Ploni V'achulam L'midinat Hayam. Okay, so he has to, right, he has to either give the money or bring proof that he gave the money. If he can't bring proof that he paid back the money, then he has to give the money to the guy. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera says, no, he could claim exactly what Shmuel's saying, that he paid back the money in front of Ploni or Ploni, and that they're not here anymore. So Shmuel basically says, don't give me problems that I disagree with the Mishnah, because the Mishnah follows one shita, and I follow another shita, that it's enough to just claim you have witnesses. Parach Rav Acha, mimai de b'shat hava'akai, dilma b'shat tvi'akai. V'hachi kamar lei, la be'edim hubiticha, be'edim hayal chalaporeni. Maybe it's not that he said b'shat, how do you know that b'shat hava'ai said you need witnesses? Maybe it's when he comes and claims the money, he says he wants witnesses. And this is what he's saying. Didn't I loan you the money with edim? So therefore, don't you know that you should have liporani, right? You should have paid me back in front of edim. And only in that case, which again was the first reading of Rabbi Yehuda, only in that case would you will you be able to claim, and as remember, there's two options. Either you lent him the money with witnesses, and then the assumption is that since you lent with witnesses, he obviously wanted you to pay back with witnesses. But then in that case, you could say there's a machloka, whether he actually really needs to bring the witnesses. But aval b'shat halva'a, but if he said b'shat halva'a, you have to provide witnesses, then divrei hakol chayav. Then even Rabbi Yehuda Batera would agree, which again would go against Shmuel, according to the second reading, that you can't then say, oh, well, my witnesses have disappeared, you know, sorry, but they've gone AWOL. Amar papi mishmei derava. So now we got to halach, hilchata. Halmavet chavero be'edim, tzarich leporo be'edim. Okay, he says, like the first reading of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav Asi, that if you loan to someone with witnesses, you have to pay him back in front of witnesses. But Rav Papa Mishmei Derava, okay, here we have Rav Papi in the name of Rava and Rav Papa in the name of Rava. Rav Papa in the name of Rava says, Hamabed Chavero Be'edim Ein Sarich Leporo Be'edim. V'imamar Al Tefareini Ela Be'edim Sarich Leporo Be'edim. So Rav Papa goes the Mekel way, basically, and he says, only if you said you have to pay back with witnesses do you have to. And you could say, I paid you back, but, you know, my witnesses aren't here anymore, and you'd be believed. Okay, so that's like a big kula of Rav Papa. Okay, now we're going to have a bunch of stories. Here are a bunch of simanim. I'm not going to read the simanim. Hahu de amar le lechavre. Ki peraticha. Ki peratin. When you pay me back. Parenli ba'ape Reuven v'Shimon. I want you to pay me back in front of Reuven v'Shimon. In other words, what's he saying? I don't trust any random witnesses you're going to bring. These are the guys I trust. It's like when you go into a contract with someone and you say, if we have a sikhsukh, you know, we're going to, this guy's going to be our arbitrator, so that you make an agreement from the beginning, so that it's someone you trust. So that I only want you paying back in front of Reuven v'Shimon. Azalu pari ba'ape trei me'alma. He then pays him back in front of two random people. Amar ba'e, ba'ape be trei amarle, ba'ape be trei pari. In other words, he wasn't specific Reuven v'Shimon. As long as he does it in front of two, right? Two witnesses should be good for anything, so it should be believed. Amarle Rava, lahachi kamarle ba'ape Reuven v'Shimon, ki echi delo nitcheye. He says, right, that's, he specifically said Reuven v'Shimon. He wanted Reuven v'Shimon, and if he doesn't pay back Reuven v'Shimon, we don't believe any witnesses who claim that he paid the money back. Okay, next case. Hu damar le l'chavre, ki paratali, parali ba'ape beitrei, detanu hilchata. I want you to pay me back in front of two people who know the halacha. Azapare ben dile, azapare ben dile le dile, right.
Paid him back just between the two of them.
Right, he paid him back not in front of witnesses. It nisu hanach zuze. Right, so now the malva can't find that money. Atala kameja ravnach. Ah, right. Okay, this is the story. He now, the money got stolen from him or lost somehow. The question is, who's responsible? So, in other words, right, this is like all cases of pikadon and things. When you're watching someone's stuff, who's responsible? Something happens. So now we're going to say like this. Ata the kamei Rav Nachman. So they go before Rav Nachman. Amarle in kibuli kabaltinu mine derech pikadon. He says, since I made this condition, it had to be in front of two people who were knowledgeable in halacha, and he just gave it to me yashar, right, without any witnesses. So I only took it b'derech pikadon. V'amina lehavik abai pikadon adem itramu beitrei detanu hilchatal mekayim tnei. In other words, I wasn't actually accepting the money fully until two people who know halacha came and would verify that I actually got the money back. So therefore, it was only b'terach pikadon, and therefore, I was just watching it for him, and really, the fact that it now got stolen from me or you know, got lost somehow in onus, it's actually more onus than stealing, we're going to say he's responsible still to pay me back the money. He hasn't actually paid me back. Amarle, kevan dekamodi tevadai shekaltinu minei peraom ma'al yahave. Okay, he says, what do you mean? Since you admitted that you actually got the money back, that's peraon. Okay? Yamar lekiyume tna'e zil itni. Aitinu, zil aitinu, 1 second. If, right, sorry, 1 second.
Go and bring it.
Right, so okay. Right, Iyamar Likiyume, if you're saying that he still has to go fulfill his condition, oh, right, that's what he says. If you want to still fulfill the condition, so Zilaitinu, go bring it right now, right? Go go bring the money that he gave you. We're here right now, so let him, we'll qualify, we'll testify to the fact that he actually gave you the money. And therefore, you know, you don't have any valid claim. Okay, we'll stop here.